The oldest piece of furniture in the world is the altar. Go back to Genesis, into the first book of the Bible. Oh, who created the first altar? Noah. When the flood was over and the ship, the boat, was back on the dry land, Noah went and built stones and stacked them up to praise God as a place to remember. Remember that this is God before us. The altar, the oldest piece of furniture in the world. Jacob built an altar. Its altar started out there with those stones piled up. And eventually they built a temple or a synagogue, or in the Christian world, a church. And there were altars in other faiths as well around the world. But they built them over those ancient altars to protect them and have a place to remember and a place to come before God and kneel down and pray. That altar became that place in so many people's lives to approach our God. I remember in 1970, the first time I traveled to the Middle East, and they had just torn down the houses. It was a good and a bad thing, both, to get to that Wailing Wall, that wall of the ancient temple. It was not the altar at that time, but it has become a prayer wall, a altar. And so whenever you go to Jerusalem, you want to go down there. And I had taken in 1970, and I put my little note, my prayer, rolled it up, and you would stick it into one of the cracks into the ancient wall. Imagine now how many millions of people before us have prayed at that altar or another altar. And have kneeled down, and when we pray, we can think that we're praying to God today, for right now, for this moment. But before us, there was someone else standing or kneeling at that altar. And that spirit must be around it, must be there. God is there inviting us to it. The altar in the place we call Jerusalem, where the temple was built, there's the rabbi's story about how that altar came about. It was developed many years later after Scripture, but it's a wonderful story about two brothers raised on their father's farm. And when mom and dad were gone, it was the brothers who had split the farm, and one took one part and one took another, so they created their crops every year and worked hard on their farm. And the one brother got married and had children, and the family was growing, and it was a good life for him, and the other brother remained single. The single brother one day looked at his brother and his family, and he said, "My goodness, my brother has a lot of responsibility to take care of those children, and I'm going to give him some of my grain so that he can have more to care for them." So at nighttime, he would grab a bag of his grain that, instead of selling it, he would take it over and put it on his brother's stack of grain. "That's the way to help my brother," he said. His brother, though, started thinking, "Well, you know, I've got so much here. I got my family and my children. And as we get older and older, my children will care for me. But my brother is single. When he's older, he's not going to have anybody to care for him. So I'm going to give him some more grain so he can sell more and make more money and care for himself." So he's carrying a bag of grain to his brother. And one night, as you would suspect, the two brothers run into each other with a bag of grain on their shoulder. And they start talking and give each other a big hug and know that God has given them the love in their hearts to care for each other. The story goes on. There were those who wanted to build a temple in Jerusalem area or somewhere there, and they didn't know where to build that temple. At the time, they didn't know where the holy place was, where God wanted them to have a holy altar. And they said, "We build it right there where those two brothers were farming. That's the holy place, where love is." That's a rabbinic story. It's a little bit different than the story that Jesus is telling us today. In the Sermon on the Mount, when he starts out by talking about, yes, you know the Ten Commandments, you're not supposed to murder, but I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Powerful, strong words. But it's the next sentence, verse 23. So when you are offering your gift, you take your gift to the altar. What was that gift at those times? That gift, of course, was still in the sacrificial world, where people wanted to sacrifice a dove, a lamb, or a bull to the altar. Or yes, they would have to exchange their money to take the right money and put it there in before the altar. Or if you weren't in the temple, you were simply there with your money at the altar, at the synagogue. But if you remember while you're standing there with your gift ready to place it before the altar, that you have something against your brother or sister, or they have something against you, you are to leave your gift. Just get out of here and go find reconciliation with your brother and your sister. What a challenge Jesus gave us. You're standing at the holy ancient place, the place that others have been so many years before, and you leave it to go to one that should be your loved one. It's not just a brother and a sister. It's those brothers and sisters in our faith life. It's the people in the holy community, the church today. Or it may be our community at large. It may be the world at large, that when you go to the altar and we're concerned about some cause, some purpose, some problem, we've got to also go to that in the world. Jesus lists more problems here. He lists that problem of adultery. He lists that problem, simple one, of swearing. He lists problems, but he also knows that we need to go to a period and a time and a place of reconciliation, a time to change, a time to let go. What about in our personal lives? What are those things that hang over you? Oh, you wish there was a way around it, but when you see person so-and-so or hear about them, it still hangs deep within you. Oh yes, we all have those childhood problems. I remember when one of my beloved brothers, I was a coin collector as a child and I saved dimes and I worked so hard I would go down to the corner store and he would let me go in there and sort through the coins doing his closing here almost any evening I wanted to be there. And I'd look through, find a dime, and I would give him a dime for it, and I'd put it in my coin collection. And one day, my coin collection had been, at least half of the dimes were gone. One of my brothers needed some change and went out and spent my dimes. I couldn't imagine the anger, the frustration I had. They were too young to understand what my coin collection was. Never got that coin collection back the way it was. But I remember being down in the basement complaining to my brother, and we were around the pool table, and he picked up the pool balls and started throwing them at me, and I'm running all over to the Those are the easy ones. For my brothers and I are both, we're close in our love and our compassion and our caring for each other today in the world. And have always been since that time. But there are the ones that hang over us. I'm not asking you today to stand up and share yours. They're there. But I do want to ask you to do this. I don't know if in this church, if, yes, we've come to this altar for communion, and I had a prayer day and many people came to the altar. But I'd ask us to take a few minutes to come and kneel at the railing of the altar, or go on a step and kneel, or simply stand at the altar. And pray for our lives, our world, and know that when we come here, there is an altar before us. And it is to remind us of the task of following Jesus. So I invite you to do that. Any who would like to, come forth today to the altar. I'll be there myself. Thank you for coming forward. If there are ever any, today, now, or ever, that you need someone to pray to you, for me, their pastor, to pray for you at the altar, please feel free to make that request. Be glad to do that after church. Thank you all for coming forward and letting us know about the holy altar that we're called to, and that we're called to leave there at times. And go out into our family or into the world to bring God's hope. Amen.